May the words in my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So this is Victoria Atkinson, and her brother Colin is right over here. Say hi, Colin! Colin is always very patient. And he's usually willing to let his sister get first go. At least when he's around me.
Yes,
that's for sure. So we're going to let Victoria and I chat for a little bit, and then maybe we'll switch and we'll talk to Colin for a little bit, okay? Lon's up first. So, Victoria, some of these people here, you may have noticed, may have been sitting here while I read the gospel with this kind of confused look on their face. Yeah, so you know that you're not to tell me about that, huh? The reason they were looking a little confused is they were here last week too, and they were sitting here thinking, didn't we read this story last week? Because we did. But we read this story in Mark's Gospel last week, and this week we read it in John's Gospel. And I wanted to read both stories both weeks in a row, even though the lectionary doesn't actually give us those stories 2 weeks in a row, because these are really important stories. These are one of the few stories that all four gospel writers share. All four gospel writers tell us about Jesus' baptism. They all tell us about his last night and his last gathering with his disciples. They all tell us about the crucifixion and Christ's resurrection from the dead. But of Jesus' ministry, of the miracle stories, this is the only one. Yeah, it's a great story, right? That makes sense. But this is a great story. This is an amazing story. And one of the things that makes it so amazing, one of the reasons that this story is one that the gospel writers, all of them tell, is because this is a story about God's will for the whole world. Did you hear the story in the Old Testament?
But you, Colin, did you hear that story in that Old Testament?
Yeah, I heard it. What about it? In the Old Testament, we get multiple stories in which people are hungry, and then miraculously, there's enough food for them to be fed. We heard the story today about the 100 people who needed food and just a tiny little bit of bread, and they all ate and had it left over. There's also a story in Exodus about how the people of Israel went into the wilderness and they were escaping from oppression in Egypt, and they arrived in the middle of this desert and there was nothing to eat, not a thing. Nobody brought anything, not even 5 barley loaves. And God miraculously sent bread, manna, they called it, from heaven, so that there would be enough for everybody to eat for 40 years. Yeah, so crazy.
Oh my God.
It really is a big deal, though. Because ask your mom and dad about how bread and food constantly go. Constantly out in their house. You guys have probably not started eating them out of house and home yet, but any of you guys have teenagers? Maybe you have a teenage boy? Is it me, or does every time we go to open up the bread box, the bread is gone? But that's not how it works in God's kingdom, Victoria. Because in God's kingdom, there is always enough for all. That's God's vision of the world. That we should share what we have in such a way that there would be enough for everyone, all the time, and even some left over. So that's one of the reasons why the gospel writers tell this story. Why all four of them tell this story. Do you think it would have been nice to sit on the grass with your shoes off?
She does.
She's like, yeah, let's go. So, because There's another reason that this is the story that everyone remembers. John tells us right up front that when he wrote his gospel, he didn't bother to tell all of the miracles and all of the signs that have been passed down to him. He says right up front, there's a lot more stories I could tell you, but I'm not going to. I've told you these that you may believe. He says that, and he tells this story because he knows his community will immediately see something else in the story. And you might not know this answer, but maybe your brother can ask Dad. What is it about bread? What in our church does bread do? Where do we find bread? Does anybody know? Maybe they can help you. Communion! Communion! Yes! Communion, Victoria. In the middle of church, we have bread. We have communion. We have bread that we share. And when John shared this story, he knew his community would notice that too. He knew that his community shared bread every week on Sundays. Yes, we have good bread here. You should absolutely come back every Sunday.
Share bread.
And it's not just because it's bread. It's not just because we're hungry and we need to have bread. It's not like we're out in the wilderness and we can't go down to Cumberland Farms and buy it. It's because that bread, that's special. Really, no, honestly, truly, this bread is special. This bread is special because when we join with Jesus in praying and blessing the bread, we remember all that God has done for us. We remember that Jesus offered himself for the sake of that vision of the world in which there was enough for everyone. We remember that not only did he die for all the failings of the world and the ways in which we don't live up to that vision, but he was raised again by God to start the kingdom in which that could be real. And he did something else. He gave us the gift of bread of communion so that we would be able to be part of that too. So that we would be able to become part of what God is doing in the world. In one of our Eucharistic prayers, we remember that we are all one body because we share in the one bread.
So, isn't it my brother's turn yet?
Maybe you want to step up to Colin? Everybody wants to see Colin. You want to bring Fred up? Colin's just like, get to the bread already. But Colin, did you hear what I was telling Victoria about being part of the world, of the one body? That's an important thing for us to remember, because when we baptize you today, that's what this is all about. Baptism is about welcoming you into the communion of saints, into the death and resurrection of Christ, so that you can be part of the one body too. Did you all see how happy he was about that idea?
Yeah.
All of these people are part of that body with you. All of these people participate in the one bread, share that vision for what God wants the world to be. All of us share with Christ in that hope for a world in which all are part of the loving family of God, in which we all share our bread, in which there is enough for everyone, everywhere, whether they join us on Sunday morning or not. That's what we're doing today. We are welcoming you into that body that God has created for us, so that we can together share the one bread that feeds the whole world. So we can leave behind all the brokenness and all the ways in which we don't live up to that possibility. In that vision and that hope that God has created for us. And we do it through the very ordinary things of bread and water, by which we become God's people. Oh, and you just can't wait, huh? You just want to go swimming right now, don't you? So should we welcome these two children into being part of God's family, being part of that communion? Shall we welcome them to the table with the rest of us in the bread that does not end?